God bless you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. Have a seat. Amen. How many loves the Lord?
Amen.
How many loves his people?
Amen.
And so God is good to us. Well, this week has been a real week of being a bulldozer. And this morning's been a real morning of being a bulldozer. But God always has the victory, so we're just thankful. Amen. Thankful that his blessings upon us. And we just give it all to him now. Put it in his hands. So it's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And there's several of them missing this morning. I know that the ones that are out sick would really be rather be here, and so I want to ask that you just remember to continue to pray for them, and also continue to pray for those who have storm damage or trying to recover from it. It's always a very inconvenient thing, and so we just want to remember them, because you know, someday you might find that that would be you. So just remember to pray for them. Open our Bibles. We're going to begin reading in Proverbs chapter 31. We'll be talking a little bit about mothers today. And this kind of joins in conjunction with marriage enrichment. So you receive it whichever way the Lord speaks to you the most. Maybe both. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? And before I read this, I want to say this. This is a woman speaking. This is a mother speaking to her son, a king, a prince. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to her ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I pray. Let's bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for this day and for the blessings that you have so wonderfully poured out upon us. We ask, God, that you'd go to those that are missing this morning, Lord, that you would just touch their bodies, Lord, that you would give them healing. And even though they're not present, Lord, we ask, God, that you'd visit them with your Holy Spirit and you would quicken the word of God to them. Lord, if they're streaming this morning, we ask, God, that you just grant to them a blessing to, as though they would be here, Lord, that they could receive everything that you have for them. And we ask, God, that you'd take these words this morning, that you would bring the unction of the Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, to speak and to hear. Lord, that everything that you have for us today as the great shepherd for your sheep, Lord, it would be provided. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you just take this service into your hands now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. God is good all the time. Now, I didn't read. I'm going to read just a little bit ahead of where we did there, because I want you to know here in Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy of that his mother taught him, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Watch, my son, and watch the son of my womb, and watch the son of my vows. Give not, now this is the instruction a mom's giving to her son, give not thy strength unto women, for thy ways, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Let they drink and forget the law, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. And he goes on down in verse 10 where we picked up and begins to talk about virtuous women. And all through Proverbs you'll find where it talks over and over about the instructions to my son, as it refers to, and warns them about women. And this is coming from a woman. We just read this from his mother. And you would think, you know, nowadays with women's rights and all the things that goes on with that, you could imagine how they would handle a responsibility to give instructions to their son. And remember, the children are very heavily affected by the way mom is. Yeah. We know that the daughters are going to turn out to be like mama. And Brother Van tells us about that, like Herodias and the different ones through the scriptures there. But it's interesting to me that this, look what she is saying. A woman warning her son about women. Because as we've said so many times, a woman can ruin your life.
Yeah.
And vice versa, a man can too. And so the mother's instruction to her son, very important there as we see that. Now, if you have a good mother, you should be very thankful. If you have a godly mother, you should be really thankful. And so we know that we have sisters among us that I think are the greatest, the best in the world. And as Brother Daniel mentioned there at the beginning of service, to see God moving and instilling virtues in the lives of all the saints there's here in this assembly, especially the sisters, to see them brave every storm and come out still trusting the Lord and still holding that virtue is a great thing. And I've mentioned many times how Brother Branham said that if a woman can hold herself true to what she's called to, she has a greater reward coming than what the man does.
That's right.
And so you should be thankful, and you should appreciate mother, not just today, you should appreciate mother every day. You know, it's real easy. People do something and then say, I'm sorry. And do something, fly off the handle, then have to come back, you know. And I think it'd be just much better if people would just live in such a way where they didn't have to come back and apologize. You know, like the scripture says that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better for people to be obedient than have to turn around and someone to have to sacrifice, or some sacrifice to have to be made,
yeah,
to cover for what they've done.
That's right.
And so I say that because I want to encourage our young people and all of you to always love and honor your mother, especially as she gets older, begins to lose her sharpness of everything, just like Dad does. Just appreciate her every day. And Brother Branham talks about how the man has made all these days into commercialism. Mother's Day is more about making money to the world, and they get everybody on board, and they make you feel guilty if you don't go out and spend a bunch of money or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not the money, and it's not the things like the flowers. It probably means, and Brother Brent said, be more to her if you'd call her up or go visit her and sit down with her,
yeah,
and spend some time with her. Mm-hmm. It's easy. People always look for the easy way out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'll just do this and take care of it and instead of doing what they need to do. And so let me just encourage you today just to know that if you've got a good mother, you should treat her that way. Treat her and respect her and honor her every day. Because you'll never know what it's like to be in those shoes unless you've been there, unless you are there. You young ladies, you don't know what it's like. Perhaps if the Lord tarries, one day you will. I think that new mothers, after they have a baby, after about the first week or two, they're shocked at what it takes to be mommy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that helps you begin to realize, look what your mama did for you. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to remember those things. And obviously a man will never know what it's like. And of course a woman would never know what it's like to be in the position of a man and the responsibilities there also. Brother Ram tells us that she is the backbone of every nation or any nation. And you know, if you have a backbone, you got some strength, you can do something. If you don't have a backbone, you're pretty much a jellyfish.
Yeah.
You can't have no strength, do anything. And jellyfish can sting, but what good is that? You know, that's about it. Mm-hmm. But if you have backbone, you've got something you can stand up with. And Brother Rim said for a nation, he didn't say the backbone was strong men or a great president or something like that necessarily. He said that the backbone of a nation is motherhood. And he said if you break motherhood, you'll break the nation. And yeah. We see that that's what's happened, not just this nation, but the whole world, because motherhood is broken. And so there's almost no value, no virtue left in people anymore. Nobody's honest anymore. Nobody wants to do what's right anymore. And I say that meaning worldly, because I know in God's people, these things are there. But the reason why it's that way is because motherhood's been broken.
Right.
Satan has invaded the United States of America, did it through Hollywood. So the prophet. And, you know, I know, as a kid, I watched, stay-at-home mothers and watched the soap operas, and I've said this before. And that's, you know, look at the degradation that did to the morals and to a home. You shouldn't be watching something that you wouldn't do yourself.
Right.
But yet they watch it, and it desensitizes. The next thing you know, they live the same way of what they've been watching.
Right.
That's why it's important that we not be tuning into Hollywood, because it does desensitize.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I told you this morning was bulldozer, so I'm gonna dig down it and I'm gonna say it the way it is.
Sure.
Okay? And so that's what happened. Motherhood has been broken, and so the backbone of the nation is broken, but yet in the midst of God's people, we're still a virtuous people, virtuous sisters that make a difference. And so we should really be very thankful. She has a lot to put up with. You know, she holds the family together. Somebody knows that. We'll read what Brother Ram said about it. This is in the message called Spirit of Truth, and this was right after his mother passed. And you probably know, if you listen to the message, you know what I'm fixing to say. But he said, he came home and he went out to the funeral home and picked out the clothes. And oh, you know how it is. You've had to do the same thing. The kids all crying, one down in one place and one in another. And I said, Mama was the hitch post. We'll never be the same no more. Doc and his family over in this corner. Jesse and his family over in that corner. And we just buried Howard recently. And I said, well, we're gone, boys. I said, well, we won't come to see one another. Mama was our stay. And I said, we won't see one another much more now. And how many have seen that?
Right.
Yeah. That as a dad can pass on, but the family still has that center around Mama.
Mm-hmm.
But when Mama goes, it falls apart. There's a reason for that. And I'm not going to tell you that I can tell you all the things that might be able to be told about that this morning, but to tell you there's a reason for that. So she holds the family together. She can make or break a home. In the Thyatira Church Age, Brother Brennan tells us this. It's a little bit lengthy reading, but you bear with me. He said, let us go back to the beginning. In the original physical creation as we know it today, God made everything in pairs, male and female. There were two chickens, a rooster, and a hen. There were two cattle, a cow and a bull. And right down the line. But when it came to man, there was only one. They were not a pair. Adam had been made in the image of God, and he was the son of God. And as the son of God, he could not be tempted and fall. That would be impossible. So God took a byproduct of the man to cause the fall. Woman never stepped fresh from the hand of God as a true product of God. She was a product from man. And when God caused her to be brought forth from the man, she was vastly different from all the other females he had created. She was able to be seduced. No other female in creation can be immoral, but the human female may be touched at almost any time. And that weakness in her allowed Satan to seduce her by way of the serpent, and has brought the woman to a very peculiar position before God in his word. She is the type of all things vulgar, foul, and loathsome on the one hand. And on the other hand, she is a type of all things clean and beautiful and holy as the receptacle of the Holy Spirit and the blessings of God. On the one hand, she is called the whore who is drunk with the wine of her fornication. On the other, she is called the bride of Christ. On one hand, she is called Mystery Babylon, the abomination before God. And on the other hand, she is called New Jerusalem, our mother. On one hand, she is foul and wicked and lewd. She is so foul, wicked and lewd that she is summarily cast into the lake of fire as the only fit place for her. And on the other hand, she is exalted into heaven, sharing the very throne of God as the only place befitting such a queen. She can be any of those things. She has that choice. And so now you see when Brother Bram said it was her who was the place Satan could go and deceive, not Adam. But she's got a choice. So she can make choice of what she receives into her womb and who she marries and who she is true to. And so she can be all those things. So if you have a godly mom, a godly wife, you should be very thankful.
Yeah.
Amen. And let her know it. You know, it'd be better to let her know now than to try and do it later. God is the author of male and female. And when God wanted to express himself through creation, he could have made it to where there were five or six different genders. He didn't do that.
No.
He made it where it was male and female.
That's right.
And you understand that a male and female are different. They are not the same. Mm-hmm. They're not the same physically. They're not the same mentally. Their gifts are not the same. Their abilities, their calling is not the same. They are different. And one of the worst things in the world is to try and do a gender blender, right? Just to try and call a man to be what a woman's supposed to be, or call a woman to be what a man's supposed to be.
Right.
It's absolutely contrary to scriptures, and it doesn't work. I don't care what the world says, it won't work. It's all messed up. They might make something go along there, but it's not going to have the blessing of God, and it's not going to have the things that the right arrangement in marriage can have for the husband and wife and the children. And so they're different, and yet in their difference together they are one. We know that, we believe that. They are one. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, she may have that on there. I want to show you this. We talk about Jesus and the bride coming from the same place he came from. Genesis 5, 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam and who he was. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. Their name. She was Adam. She wasn't something else. In the day when they were created. It was one Adam. Not a different one. Not a different person. She was Adam, just in a portion of Adam in a different expression. And so God created it that way. He made it that way because he was showing his own attributes and his own desires. That he in himself had the ability to have male and female attributes all bundled up in one. And Adam was created that way. And yet in God's perfect plan, it was to take that female from him, separate her from him, and then bring them back together into unity. Because that's the way God was going to express himself through the human race and to the human race. So he made them different, and yet when they come together in unity, they are one. And when God looks down upon Jesus Christ and he looks at you, alone you, he sees Jesus. There's no difference. You are no different. So he made them different. And what good would it do if male and female had no benefit for each other? What good would it do for him to take those two and say, now I want you to come together and be in unity, and the one could look at the other and say, they have absolutely nothing that I need, nothing that helps me or nothing that draws me to them. What good would that do if they could look at each other and say, well, there's just nothing there for me. There's nothing there. There's nothing I can do for them. We're all the same. Why would I need, you know, why would the woman need to be to have the strength of the man to do the strength that the man can if she's got it herself? So you see, so God purposely stripped out these different attributes and used that as the way, as the thing to pull the draw back together. Yeah. That we were all in him, and in Christ, we all came out and he split us apart there so that there would be a need in the bride that Christ could supply. And there would be something, a need in Christ that the bride could supply. And so he split us all out that way. And so you got the husband and the wife, and I'm saying this so that you kids can understand about mom and mom's position in the family, but that's the way it is. God purposely split those out and made them different and made there being a longing and a satisfaction. And as the scripture said, that the mom could be a helpmeet for the dad. Made it that way. And so it wouldn't be very nice if there wasn't anything that drew, that made you want to be around your wife or be around your husband. But we realize that there is benefit to each other there. God did make it that way. But for this whole arrangement to work out like it needs to, and like it's supposed to, the husband and wife have to have a mutual servant position. It cannot be master-master. In other words, he can't be a master and her be a master, because that would be total conflict. It can't be that one of them just be master and the other one be a servant, because then that would be total and complete abuse. You follow me? But the only real way that this works is when it's servant-servant. That he's a servant to her to provide for her, and she's a servant to him. Right. And that's why I say, they say, well, it's a give and take. No, it's not a give and take. It's a give and receive. You gracefully receive whatever your spouse through servitude serves you with. Because if they don't want to give it and you take it, you're a thief. See what I mean? The right relationship is that I want to be in service. I want to provide for my family. Or my wife wants to provide for her husband and for her home to do the things that she does. And if she doesn't willingly want to do that, there's something wrong. Because in God's program, and same way with the husband, the man gets up and he's, as I've said so many times recently, if he's angry because he has to go to work every day to provide for his family, he's got a problem. But once you catch what this is, you realize that there's the godliness in this whole arrangement and find your place, then there's a peace and a joy knowing that you're fulfilling the plan of God for your family as you should. So it's got to be a servant relationship, and when it is, then there's harmony. Servants, are we not all servants to the Lord Jesus Christ? But wasn't he also a servant to us? Because he said he came here to serve. And that's the whole thing, that he is a servant. And what good would it do for us if we could heal ourselves, why would we need him? If we could save ourselves, why would we need him?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Sure.
We need him in the strength and the magnitude of what he is. We need that to provide what we don't have. Just like the woman in the household, she needs the attributes of the man and the strength and the security that he can provide, because she doesn't have it.
Yeah.
But he can provide that. And at the same time, Jesus Christ needs the comfort and the of the church. The scripture says, and you can read it in Revelations there, and Brother Brown points this out, that it's the woman who serves her husband. Mm-hmm. She waits on him. She does the things. So it's a mutual, even in Christianity, Christ and his church, it's a mutual servant relationship.
Yeah.
Because they both are doing that. And look at what happens when both of them play their part. Mm-hmm. Both of them are doing it. And that's the way it is in a home. Husband and wife have to be servants and to each other.
Yeah.
And so God made man to be rough and gruff. He's the scriptures says that she's the weaker vessel. So in contrast to that, no, the man has a stronger body physically. God is not the author of confusion. He would not give the woman the weaker body and tell her, now your job is to go out there and bust rock and build fence posts and, you know, dig, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That God don't work that way.
Right.
He put the man in the kind of body that he intended man to be in, that was fitting for the job he had the man to do.
Mm-hmm.
He made a woman's body so that she was fitting for what she's to do.
Yeah.
Bearing children and everything. I was, my wife and I went to eat last night, and I was watching a woman that was looked like she was ready to have a baby right now. She was huge. And I got to look at her and I thought, you know what that would do to a man's back if he had that much weight hanging out in front of him? Think about it.
Yeah.
But you sisters do it, and I'm not saying you don't have pain, but I'm saying you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, they're made to be able to do that. You can take a woman and you can tell that she's a woman if you know what you're looking at just from the way she walked, because of her bone structure and her hips and so forth. There's a difference. And they're made to be, you know, what God called them to be. So he made the man to be the rough and stern and honestly, if he's a man. And I know we live in a world nowadays where it's all messed up. Brother Ben talked about it. But a man is rough and gruff, and you know, you hug him and he's got 2-3 days of growth on there. It's not very nice to hug someone with all that beard sticking out. That's, you know, but you can hug your wife and it's soothing. It's different. It's supposed to be different. He's made to be rough and made to be the one. And God made him, his word, and his position, the law of the house. I know they don't like that, but I'm not talking about world, I'm talking about in God's economy.
Right.
He's the law of the house. And keep in mind, if he's that servant toward his wife and his family, he's not going to be a tyrant,
right,
though their world is full of them. But you put the Holy Ghost in a man and has preeminence in a man, he won't be that way. So I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, and this is what we want, right? We want the kingdom of heaven in our homes.
Right.
So he's made to be rough and gruff, and he's made to handle it. We had a situation yesterday where our neighbor's dog got out again. Hadn't been out for a long time and went right after my grandson. You know? But a man, what will a man do?
Mm-hmm.
A man take off after out there.
Yeah.
And I was out back and didn't hear it because I had something engine running. Benjamin did. Took off out there to and, you know, we're like, what are we going to do? I don't know. You don't think. You just do it. You know, you jump in. And I know sisters would probably do something like that too if they had to. But, you know, it's a man's job to be physical and get out there and handle it. And a man will say, you know, when the kids, like, you know, even Brother Bram said this, pick up your feet, son. You know, a man's like, get up, pick up your feet, make it happen, get it done. And mommy will say, let me see if I can help you with that. There's a difference, right? There is. So, and what I'm showing you, this typology, is that in the kingdom of heaven, there had to be law. There had to be a law that could rip the hide off of you. But then there had to be a church that could, through grace, could administer that will and that word through grace to get people to comply with that. Right? You follow me? Different parts, different attributes there. And so the man had to be the law of the house because God is. And he's in the image of God. So God is, he's the law of the universe. And everybody's going to tally up with it because it's his universe. Sooner or later, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess.
Right.
That's right. But no matter how strong the man is and no matter how much authority he has and how much law of the land, law of the household he is, if he's by himself, he's alone. Alone. Because no matter how great a man is, he needs that soft touch from that woman. Brother Ram said a man can come home wore out from work, been out there, who knows what he's had to do for a living. He can come home, his wife can sit out on his lap there and begin to talk to him and just make everything just wonderful. Take all the burdens because he has, she's a refuge. It seems kind of paradox. It seems like, here's the guy who, he is the law of the land. He's the law of the household, and everything has to be moved in the direction of what his desire is, and yet he needs to come and draw from her something that can help him after he's had a rough day from work. And we find that it's different, you know, sisters the same way. Sometimes a sister has, and she needs him to come home, and she needs to have him deal with things. So without her, he's a lonely man. Because there's things he can't do without her. There's things he can't do with her in the fact that she's the one that does it, not him, you understand? So that's why the scripture says she's a help. Because he can't birth children, and he doesn't have the attributes to be kind and soothing like she can. He can't be that, because God separated it, and he put the rough, gruff handling in the man, and he put the softness and the sweetness and the tenderness in the woman. That's what he did. He made it that way. And that's why we can say that a man is supposed to be a man, and he's supposed to dress like a man, and a woman is supposed to be a woman and not have a cigar in her mouth, you know, with a welding helmet on or something, you know, like Brother Ram talked about. She's supposed to be a woman.
Right.
And dress like one and act like one, ladylike, and man not be sissies.
Yeah.
So my wife and I were looking for some shirts the other night, and I said, no pink ones and no purple ones. You know, now I'm not that, nothing against pink and purple, but just because of what that looks like, you know. Men are to be men.
Right.
Women to be women. And so, God made it that way on purpose. God limited himself to say, there are things I can't provide for myself because I have made it such in my program that I have to have a church, a bride, that somehow, it's hard for us to imagine that God could somehow come down and she could sit on his lap, as it were, and that he could be soothed by his fellowship with her.
Yeah.
But you can't break the typology, so it's there. That God needs your fellowship.
Sure.
He needs the womb of your heart. He can't get it any other way because he made it. He limited himself. It's like Brother Branham said that when God created, and I think if I can say this the right way, it didn't take God 6,000 years or 6 days to create, but he took that much time. He could have done it in a microsecond if he wanted to, but he purposely took that much time because he wanted to lay out the times and the seasons and all the patterns of ages and so forth. And so God split off from himself that female attribute, and now has committed himself and cannot go back on his word and say, well, my plan didn't work, or she's not the bride that I really thought, so I'll just draw that back and I'll just soothe myself. No. You can't do it. You got to have her. Mm-hmm. I hope mamas feel good, because this is the truth. Nobody can do it like mama. Some of us, or some people, didn't have that in mom. And the Lord knows all about it. How can the man, and the attributes he has of being strong, how can that be expressed if there's not a weakness for him to be strong for? How can he be the economy and provide if everything around him has provided for itself and there's no need? Right? Or the same way with the mother. Why would a mother need to be tender and sweet if daddy can do that? Mm-hmm. But daddy can't do it. I don't care what they say. It takes man and woman. It don't take a whole community to raise children. It takes a godly man and a godly woman in unity of marriage to do it. So there's a law of contrast there. So God made woman to be weaker so he can be her strength. He made her need the security so he can provide that security. He made her as the weaker vessel, and where she needs him to come and deal with things. You know what? There's some things that come her way that she just can't handle, even though the home and everything. And she needs him to come home and put the devil under his feet, mm-hmm. because she can't. Now think of the church. Mm-hmm. We need the strength of Jesus Christ, no matter what he's called us to be beside him and unity with him. Yet, it doesn't work unless we're one with him and let his attribute take care of the things that we can't take care of. Yeah. But always remember this also, but there are things about you that he needs from you that you can provide and minister to him that he can't get anywhere else.
That's right.
So, you know, instead of going in and Satan wants you to come in and pray, and say, oh, God, forgive me for all my... Go in there boldly to the throne of grace and to find mercy in time of need, as the scripture tells us. But go in there knowing that he wants to hear from you.
Man.
He wants you to sit and talk with him.
That's right.
As somebody posted a picture there, you know, Brother Branham talked about, Dear Sir, put the sign up, you know, out in the woods. Dear Sir, you know how to pray. And somebody posted the picture and it said, Dear God. And it was all jumbled up letters. You couldn't read nothing. You know, Amen at the bottom. And then the bottom part says, I know, God. He answered, I know. Like the story was, it said the little boy praying his ABCs at the altar. So what are you doing? You're praying it? He said, well, I figure God knows how to take those letters and put it together for what I need and what I need.
Yep.
As I've told so many times, Brother B.J. Ryan, the precious brother that used to hear at this church when back in Pentecost, and he used to tell that the guy go to the altar and pray. All he knew to say is, Lord, fix me. Fix me. And after he was over with and he felt better, they said, what happened? He said, oh, I don't know. All I know is that he fixed me.
Amen.
You don't have to make it complicated, nope. See? And that's the way it is with relationships. You don't always have to understand what's going on with your mate and so forth. He understands us, and we don't always understand what his program is, but we're in it.
Yeah.
We're 100% for it, whatever it is, mm-hmm. because I trust him.
Yeah.
You trust him, and he knows what's in you, you see? And we got to begin to look at our relationship with Jesus Christ that way, but our relationship with our mates are that way. If your spouse snaps at you, well, you know that's not what she wants to do or he wants to do. You know that. You've been with them long enough to know that's not what they want to do. Something's irritating or there's a frustration or something there. And so you enter into the need and the understanding, and so your response can be appropriate.
Yeah.
Not to try and meet evil with evil or something like that, but to when they've come to their end, for you to pick up and go on and be what they can't be during that moment. Mm-hmm. So she's the loving one, the tender one, expresses what he cannot express. Now think of God, he is the Word, and you don't come before him with sin and filth in your life, right? So he had to make something as a go-between. So he made an atonement, but he put a priesthood in place. And who's the priesthood? The church. We are a royal priesthood, right? We Christians. So he puts us in place, and we're the ones that you hear more from us as believers. You hear the word of God, and you see it in our lives and so forth. And we're here to be a go-between, not that we are that, but we are ministers to minister grace to you and to be like the priesthood between God. And we know that there's only one mediator between God and man, that's the Christ Jesus. We're not trying to take the place of that. We're just saying that God's put ministry in place and the church in place there. And Brother Rand sees she's Miss Grace. And our job is to take that word, that presence of God that you can't approach with sin in your life, and begin to woo you in the direction to where you begin to come to where you can stand in his presence, because the grace of God has covered your life in sin. So he's put a priesthood, put a church, put a female there with a softness and a tenderness, because that's her, the church. We've read it in the scriptures there. She's the mother, or we read it in the quotes in Galatians. New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. So you see, we don't have the strength and the roughness and the gruffness. I can't speak things in and out of existence like he can. And I don't want that. I don't have it in me. You don't have it in me. Why? Because we're in a female attribute. But we can go to him and he can do it. See what I'm saying? And it's our job on a daily basis to represent to the children what his plan is, what his program is. And do it with gracefulness. And to do it with grace and not legalism. But to minister grace and draw them in the same direction, but to do it by grace and not by harshness. See the difference? That's the difference between Christ and his church, between husband and wife. And so the sooner that you can figure out and realize what the arrangement is and the actual place where the church is, and that what she holds and how her relationship is with him and how he provides what she doesn't have and vice versa, then you can operate with a lot less headaches and sorrows when you know exactly how to do things. So God is the Father, and the church is the mother, each one with their own position, their own disposition. You know, dad is the economy. Husband, if you look that up, your finance economy means economy, because he is the provider of the household. Provides. And mom is the one who predominantly distributes out the economy of dad. He makes a living and all these things, provides all, and she's the one that the kids spend more time with her, and she has access to all the money and all the things like that, and she goes and she buys, and the kids spend a whole lot more time with her because she's Grace. But she couldn't do none of that if she didn't have an economy behind her. But he empowers her and says, there you are. And I've said it like this, you know, that I give my home inside my house there, That is my wife's domain. Yeah, I'm the law of the household, okay? But she can tell me, don't track mud in this house with your shoes. Mm-hmm. And I try to honor that. So even God can say, now, he's the law of the universe, but he puts in place a responsibility, and he will limit himself and become subject to the very law and the very rules that he has you in charge of. So he will not go against what he tells us and institutes in us and as a church. So you see how that works. So she is the one that predominantly distributes out the economy. She's the one that prays, and as we come to church, we pray for the sick and all those things. But it's the strength of him that she's able to operate with. But she does it through grace. So she can bring the children up to a level, as I said a while ago, where they can interact with dad. If you take a mom, and Brother Raymond tells us this, you know, that when you come into this world, you had somebody need to hold your hand. Same way when you leave. But that child comes in the world, and first mom gets it. Because mom is the fifth gospel. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you have mom. And mom gets that child even before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do. And so they spend more time with her, and that child's character and upbringing is more influenced because of mama. You know that military leaders I think they tell that Hitler did this, said, give me your children from their all the way up to age 7, and I'll have them for life, something like that. Because they know that's the years of molding them and making them and instilling into them things that will never leave.
Right.
And that's the time mama has them. Mm-hmm. But the goal is not to raise those children in the grace and the tenderness to where all they can handle in life is tenderness. Because you have the phrase mama's boy. Mm-hmm. That never grew up. The idea is we love mom and we love the disposition she has, but the idea is not for us to spend our whole entire life just only experiencing the love and kind of mama, because that's not what this world's about. The idea is for her to raise them children to the place of the maturity in that measure of grace to where now that child cannot go out and work in the field with dad. And dad can take that and they become something that he can use in his kingdom. But it starts back there with her. It starts with grace and mercy and tenderness and kindness. But when you're out here in the field and you got a busted line and water's spilling out, you got to get with it. And it's not a time of grace and, oh, I don't feel good. You got to get done. What's got to get done? What about these people around here with all the storm damage? Well, you got to get with it. You see? It's a different. But she's the thing that brings them to that place where they can go on. And so the whole purpose is for them to become full, mature adults. And she's just one of the steps along the way to get them there. And but what I want to show you there is that even once we become full-grown adults, fully mature, and can get out there and we can jump in the pit and do whatever we got to do, we still have that need for that touch from mama. And that touch from wife. Because that's, to me, it's almost one and the same thing. The soothing calm, what a wife can do is the same thing what a mama can do. For a child, the wife can do it. So a son, he goes out, go find you a woman that's like your mama. Go find you a wife that's like your mom. Because if your mom fixes all kinds of food for you, whatever you want, she has your favorite dishes and all that, and does your laundry and all that, then you go find a woman that's not got the character to do that, you're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Believe me. Look down the road a long way at what it's going to be like down the road, and do what you got to do now to make sure it comes out right. Because once you make the commitment, then look what you've got. She actually... She brings them to that place where that she can now be. They can be out there in the harshness of the world. I'll say it that way. She actually is helps bring them to adoption, right? Because the son is under tutors, and we could realize that you can hire someone, whatever. But a great deal of that is mom. The Holy Spirit coming and working in your life, a lot of times in the female attribute, to woo you and to deal with you and gracefully draw you, that's a female side. That's a female attribute. You don't want to fall into the hands of a judging God, because it's a fearful thing to fall in, right? We'd much rather have the grace of God to lead us and guide us, so that when our life is done, we can stand there because of what we've experienced throughout in going to church and hearing the Word and the Holy Spirit bringing us to the place where we don't have a problem to stand before Almighty God. And so, showing you there, she can bring them to adoption, help bring them to adoption. If she does a poor job at that, it brings shame upon her. Proverbs 29:15. I think I have it here. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Why didn't it say dad, father? Because that's her job. That's her position in life. And that, if she fails in that, the backbone is gone. Because that's who she is. That's what she can put into her children and into the economy of God. And if she doesn't do that, and that child will bring her to shame, because in the economy of God, they know that it lays within mama. She's the one that makes the difference. If she's there doing what's right, it comes out in, as children who are not embarrassing, who don't bring her to shame. So, see why it's so important that the church stay with the Word?
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, they have children that are ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
So, I'm just showing the difference between the strictness of the Word and, you know, and we realize that it is what God has said, and that's it. And whether we feel it or don't feel it, it's His word.
That's right.
But see, she is more given to emotion. She's more emotional, more given to emotion, and interacts on a more emotional level. And that's fine, because it's needed. That's why God made it that way. That's why He made her respond emotionally when a man, you know. Every time a fence wire breaks out in the field, he goes to crying about it. That's not going to fix nothing. You see what I'm saying? So God made it that way, and she is. And that's one reason why we always want that touch from mom. We always enjoy that touch from your wife when you come home from a bad day. You like to hear her voice, and you like to, you see what I'm saying? Because that's her character. That's who she is. That's why you as a Christian shall always want, you always want to come to church and hear and be in the presence of the church, because that's right. That's how it is. She's given to emotions much more than man is. I'm talking about in the economy of God. But that is a powerful tool that's there. And it'll always draw. That's why daddy, we probably don't like to admit this. We like to feel the presence of the Lord.
Sure.
We like to feel the Holy Ghost. And then in those hours when we feel it, it's like, yeah, I got faith, man. But that's over here in the emotional side. That's still in the realm of the church, in the realm of mom, in the realm of being driven or being more given to emotion. And we all, especially in this age, as a Pentecostal age, everybody wants to proclaim their Christianity, and it's based off of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the mystery of the age, is to have that without sensation.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that the roughness and the gruffness of the Word in the presence of Dad and presence of the Word in the presence of God is that the Word is cut and dry. It's it. With or without emotion. And that's where we all want to come to. God wants to bring us in our experience where we all come to the place where whether we have a good feeling or not, we're with it. And get it done. Third pull. You know, you see what I'm saying? So we've got to rise up. We have to come away from just all we know in life is mama's soothing touch. That's not going to work. It has its place. But we got to graduate from that. And even though after we graduate, we can still enjoy that. But we don't have that to be a man out here in the field doing the job that needs to be done no matter what comes. The time may come when you don't have a church. And at that time, you got to be men. To have the word and the spoken word, and whether you feel it or not. So that I'm showing you the emotional side. This is faith, male-female attributes that we're talking about. To graduate, because she brings in kids and brings them up to a maturity level that they can survive and go out in life, even if they don't have mom anymore. Right? She got a big job. Mm-hmm. She's got a big job to do. So you see, in God's economy, it requires both. So we want to understand there is a difference. We want to understand what their responsibilities are, and we want to respect that. Now I'm talking about husband and wife, and I'm talking about children to your mom and so forth. To recognize that we all have our position, and to honor and respect those things. To honor that office of your mother, the responsibility she has. To honor the fact that she has a certain expression in this economy of the household, or to honor the fact that your church has a certain expression in the kingdom of God. And there's only so much we can express, and then the rest of it's up to Him. Mm-hmm. And the same way with her. There's only a certain expression. And don't call from her to be something that only Daddy can be.
Right.
See? You can talk to her and she can go to Dad, but don't begin to try to extract from her what only Dad can be. So respect and her expressions, but also respect her limitations, what she's limited to. And as I said a while ago, when your spouse reaches their limit, or when your mother reaches their limit, you see what I'm saying? When your spouse reaches the limit, chances are you can pick up where they can't go on, and you can be the difference of what they don't have.
Sure.
Both ways. Because that's the way it's designed. And when that happens, that unity, that magic unity of coming together, you see the perfect image of God there. The holy image of God is male and female in unity. That's what you see. So don't take advantage of your mate when they say, well, I know she can't handle this, so I'll just make sure that she's overwhelmed with it, you know. Don't take advantage of your mate. Don't take advantage of your mother. Say, well, you know, don't put her at odds with Dad. Don't act in such a way that you've got your mother frazzled. Because you're trying to get her, you've trying to drive a wedge between her and Dad to get her to compromise to what you want when you know Dad won't. Don't do that. You're abusive to your parent when you do that. Mm-hmm. Recognize the position of the family and honor that, and your life will be blessed.
Amen.
That's why the scripture said, honor father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth.
Yeah.
Right? First commandment with promise. So what does it mean to honor? Not just to obey, but to the whole thing, all this that I'm talking about, to recognize these positions and things. Because God is, the husband or the dad is the representation of God. He's the head in the home. And the mom is beneath that. And sometimes mom has to go to him, and you don't want to ask mom to try and endorse something that dad don't want. I've said it a couple of times as we get ready to close. That Though God is strict and powerful and his word is law of the universe, he still needs that fellowship. Mm-hmm. That experience from the church that believes, as I said a while ago, that he can come down and you can sit down on his lap and begin to stroke his forehead and talk to him about his day. That she can, you know, we can make him his favorite pie. Mm-hmm. Spiritually.
Yeah.
Right? We can do that. In our fellowship and in our relationship with him. As Brother Brim said, that, you know, we have a responsibility as a wife to her husband. We have a responsibility to prayer and to the word and to the things that a Christian's life is like. We have a responsibility to that. So just always remember, God needs you just like you need him. Husbands need wives, wives need husbands, and your children will always need mommy, even though you're called to come to full maturity. You'll always long for that touch. And as it goes in the way of the earth, one day God will take mommy away. So today and every day, make sure your mom knows that you love her. Amen. If all we have in our life is all the feel-good stuff, we'll never become men. If all we have is just the sweet touch of mom, if we never have the strength of the word, the meat of the word, we'll never come to maturity. And yet, as mature adults, we always need a touch from mama. May the Lord bless you as we get ready to close. Yeah. I hope I've said something today that would be a blessing to you, something you can remember, something you can think about in your days ahead, and especially today. Let your mom know how much you love her. Do something for her that she needs done. Right? Let's just pray before the Tim comes. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this time together with your people. And Lord, we also thank you for the sisters we have in this assembly, that are good mothers, good wives. We know, God, that it comes with a price, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful, Lord, that you put a measure of grace in their life that they can get through in this age that is calling for them to be so much different than what they are. And we thank you, Lord, because they have been willing to say yes and surrender and say no to the things of the world that they might represent you in a godly home. And I ask the Lord that you would just bring a special blessing upon our sisters that are that way. Lord, that even those that aren't here today, that you touch their lives. Lord, that this measure of grace, double grace in their lives, can just go and expound and become greater and greater. Lord, that these scriptures we read there, what she does for the home and how her children call her blessed, that, Lord, that her name is praised in the gates, and that the husband at the workplace talks about how wonderful his wife is. And Lord, that these things would be so. This is an image, Lord, that you put in the midst of your people, and we just ask, God, that you just allow us to by grace live it. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Yeah.